Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wassalamu ala man ittaba al-huda. A warm welcome to the Reminders program this Wednesday to our Muslim listeners and our non-Muslim listeners. It's the 24th of Feb 2016, corresponding with the 14th of Jumad al-Ula, 1437 Hijri, and it's Budget Speech Day. If you've been paying attention to programming and the programming thread for radio, on Radio Islam for the last two weeks or so, we've been holding an It's My Biz campaign. And one of the main take-home messages was about budgeting and how to budget. So lots of talks about that, breaking down the budget speech, and also a broadcast of the budget speech later today, and analysis that follows thereafter. And keeping with that theme today on the Reminders program, we're going to be talking about reminders from the Quran and Sunnah with regards our rizq, and what holds back risk, what can increase our risk, and the importance also of seeking and earning halal risk. At any time during the program, if you wish to call in, Sheikh Usama standing by to take calls, 011-854-1548, or you can tweet at Zana_ZA. You can mail Zana@RadioIslamLive.com. So many ways to participate. Let's start off the program like we normally do with an invocation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Him, none of this would be possible. And the dua we're reading today, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Allahumma la ya'ti bil hasanati illa anta, wa la yadfa'u as-sayyi'ati illa anta, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The translation is, O Allah, nothing or nobody can bring good but You, and nobody can avert calamities and harm but You, and no power and no might, everything belongs to You, O Allah. And on that note, let's start with an anecdote about the importance of searching and seeking for a livelihood. So we'll look at the term rizq and we'll analyze that term rizq, because we know Ar-Razzaq, the sustainer, is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's often mentioned names. And the anecdote is something that relates to those who were in, who lived in the second, the 8th century actually, but they were Arafah. They were those who recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the so-called Sufis and the Walis of the second era in the 8th century. And among those was Al-Hasan al-Basri, Malik ibn Dinar, Ibrahim ibn Adham, Shaqiq al-Balkhi, and Fudayl ibn Iyas. Now you've heard these names, we've all heard these names growing up, stories of the pious, anecdotes from the pious. And these were people who were well known to have a certain recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lifestyles. An important thing to remember when we narrate these anecdotes is they can never supersede the Quran and the Sunnah and the stories of the Sahaba. We narrate these stories because they help us move along to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And we should never ever get into that phase where we revere these people more than we would revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. Because sometimes we get so caught up in these stories and these anecdotes and the sheikhs and the walis that we forget that the most mighty, of course, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of these pious people was Ibrahim ibn Adham, and why his story is so well documented and his life story is so well documented is that he is to be one of those who were the princes of Balkh. Geopolitics has changed the geography quite a bit, but Balkh was in those territories that we know as Iran and Pakistan and Afghanistan. So Balkh was one of the towns in that area, and he, Ibrahim ibn Adham, was a prince of Balkh. And a bit later on in his life, he renounced his throne and he found his spiritual kingdom. So people focused on his life, kind of like how they focused on the Buddha, who was a prince, and his teachings, because they felt it fascinating that somebody who had all the riches of the world would find a way to renounce that and then take on the spiritual path. So one of the students, one of the talaba of Ibrahim ibn Adham rahimahumullah, was a man called Shaqiq Balkhi. So he was also from there. And once upon a day, this young man شقيق البلخي needed to earn risk, he needed to earn a livelihood, and he had to leave his hometown. So he says goodbyes and he goes off on his road. And a few days later, he comes back. So his sheikh, Ibrahim ibn Adham rahimahumullah, asks him, hey, what happened? I thought that you were going away. So Shaqiq rahimahumullah says, you know what? I was going and then I saw this bird, this little bird that got injured. And I looked at the bird and it's just so helpless and it couldn't even fly. And the next minute this healthy bird comes along and it puts seed right in front of it. And the injured bird eats it. So in my heart I thought, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives food to an injured bird. So wherever I am, doesn't matter where I go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give rizq to me. So I came back. So his learned sheikh said to him, he said, Shaqiq, why are you doing that? Why are you comparing yourself to the injured? Why are you comparing yourself to the helpless? Don't adopt the condition of the ma'azur. Don't adopt the condition of those who are helpful. Be powerful. Make an effort. Earn. Feed yourself as well as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Work like a powerful man. Earn so you can feed yourself as well as your family and the rest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. So when we look at that waqia, look at that story, we realize that there's a big part, and it goes back to that part of the Sharia that says that we shouldn't remain helpless and do nothing. And to earn halal living is also fard, it's also obligatory. And the reason is because it's not in mind that, you know, you're just eating to survive in the dunya and to survive in the dunya. Whatever we earn, whatever we put in our stomachs is not just for this life, it's also for our life beyond the grave. And hence it becomes part and parcel of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers it ibadah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said that a time will come when people won't even care whether they've acquired things legally or illegally. So this is what the thrust of the program is going to be about: risk, sustenance, and things that hinder us from finding a halal risk and things that could increase our risk. So let's look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's name, Ar-Razzaq. Rizq is whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has apportioned for us and whatever benefits us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Ar-Razzaq, the one who creates our rizq, has taken it upon himself to deliver whatever has been apportioned to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides sustenance to everyone, Muslims, non-Muslims, women, men, humans, animals, plants. And that is why in Surah number 11 verse 6, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, every single creature on earth is upon Allah to provide its rizq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows its place of dwelling and its place of storage. Everything is on a clear register with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in other parts of the Quran, Surah 51 for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the heaven is your provision and whatever you are promised. And everything is written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we talk about this term rizq, razaqa, what does it mean? Does it mean money only? No, it doesn't only mean money. When we refer to the term rizq, many people assume that it's just money. But rizq is anything that benefits us. It can be money, it can be religion, it can be any other material thing in this dunya. And I want to read you a hadith a little bit later that's in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad about the dunya and the deen. It's a very very touching hadith. So rizq can be money, it can be religion, it can be something material, and even can be something that's emotional. It can even be something that's spiritual. You can have spiritual rizq. For example, if a person takes upon himself or herself to attend talks, surround themselves with good people, increase in good, then they are taking steps to feed their soul, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises their station because of that. Rizq is something that's decided very, very, very early on. If we look at the hadith, when sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has ordained five things for every servant: his death, his a'mal, his abode, his places of moving about, his place of sustenance. And that happened when we were already in our wombs. So much so that there's one hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reportedly said that if Ibn Adam runs from his rizq, like how he runs from maut, his rizq will still catch up to him, just like how his death is meant to reach him. Now on that hadith where we talked about the difference here between deen and dunya, in a slight regard, and it's narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَسَمَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَخْلَاقَكُمْ كَمَا قَسَمَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَرْسَاقَكُمْ. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has divided your character between you just like how He's divided your provision between you. What does that mean? That means that just as it's a given that there are going to be so many different people on earth with so many different personalities and so many different character traits, just like that, there's going to be the division of risk, sustenance. Everybody's going to get it differently. Everybody's going to receive it differently, have it molded and shaped differently, receive it in different manners, and going to have less or more. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يُؤْتِ الدُّنْيَا مَنْ يُحِبُّ وَمَنْ لَا يُحِبُّ. The dunya, all the blessings of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give it to those people that He loves and those people that He doesn't love. وَلَا يُؤْتِ الدِّينَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَحَبَّ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only give deen, He'll only give religion to who He loves. فَمَنْ أَعْطَاءُ اللَّهُ الدِّينَ فَقَدْ أَحَبَّهُ. If Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given you deen, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. So when we go to looking at, you know, people that have things that we don't have, and people that have the best of everything, and you may think, well, alhamdulillah, Allah has really accepted them. But here, from the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are reminded that the deen, the dunya, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala can give to those whom Allah loves and Allah doesn't love. But if you've been given deen, then it's a pure sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Now the hadith is a little bit long, but coming to the part that relates to us specifically for this program today, it's with regards earning. Further on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about evil as tyranny and oppression. And so Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this tyranny and this oppression? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said that a servant cannot earn wealth from what is forbidden and spend it and receive blessings on it. It's impossible. You can't expect to earn haram or through haram means or through a haram contact or in a haram manner and then spend it and wish to receive blessings in it. He can't give charity from it and have it be accepted. He can't leave it for his family and expect that now it's going to be sawab for me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that all it increases, illa kana zadahu ila nar. It's not going to increase blessings for you in the akhirah. It's just going to make your way to Jahannam easier for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَا يَمْهُ السَّيِّئَ إِلَّا بِالسَّيِّئِ وَلَا يَمْهُ السَّيِّئَ إِلَّا بِالْحَسَنِ إِلَّا الْخَبِيثِ لَا يَمْهُ الْخَبِيثِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't expiate an evil deed with an evil deed. He expiates evil deeds with good deeds. A bad deed can't wash away another bad deed. You've got to do it through good deeds. So again, in other teachings, this one in Sahih Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was emphatic to say that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will only accept that which is pure. And when we offer Allah what is pure, Allah accepts it, Allah grows it in reward, just like how some of us nurture and raise young animals, and the reward grows until it reaches the size of a mountain. And in that, you know, this importance of earning halal, earning lawful food so our du'as will be accepted, that the malaika stay with those people who earn halal food. If we don't care where we're getting our money from and where we're getting our income from, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala doesn't care which path we enter Jahannam through. So we know those things also. And the warnings are there. So if we are on the pathway to earn halal rizq, what are methods and what are ways of increasing sustenance the halal way? That's what we'll be looking at after the break. Remember, this is all part of Radio Islam. It's my biz campaign. I'll catch you after the break, inshallah. Welcome back to the Reminders program with me, Umm Abdullah, leading us into this segment, Istighfar and Tawbah, played by our engineer, Brother Usama. MashaAllah. That brings us to the very first tip in increasing sustenance the halal way. Tawbah, repentance from sins. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a servant of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is deprived of rizq because of the sins that they commit. And that's narrated in Ibn Majah. So when we look at this hadith and we look at the Quran and in Surah Nuh, when Nuh alayhi sallam said to these people that ask forgiveness from your Lord because Allah is all forgiving. And Allah will send rain to you then in abundance, and Allah will give you an increase in wealth, an increase in children, and Allah will bestow on you gardens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you rivers. So here we definitely see the connection, like our ulama have told us over and over again, the link between istighfar, seeking forgiveness, tawbah, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our sins, and an increase in rizq. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning that a bandi, a servant of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Abdullah and Amatullah, deprived of rizq because of the sins that they commit. So there are many people who seek Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Sometimes, you know, we seek forgiveness many, many, many times a day, but still left with poverty. So the answer is that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chose to test them that way. Or it could be that the repentance is an utterance just on the tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants our istighfar to count, not just with our tongue, but also our hearts. So, in Surah Hud, as it's mentioned, O my people, ask forgiveness from your Lord and repent to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send you from the sky abundant rain and add strength to your strength. So do not turn away as criminals, meaning those who are actually committing guna against themselves. So this istighfar is the utterance of astaghfirullah. Tawbah has more. It is where we make a niyyah to leave off our specific sinning and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we stop that sin and we make a firm resolution not to go back to that sin, and we are sincere in that, in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Sometimes we're making a lot of istighfar but we haven't actually stopped a particular sin. So that's one of the hindrances in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala opening up the doors of sustenance and rizq for us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us humble in this regard, that when we are committing a guna and committing a sin, that we acknowledge that it's a sin and that we can ask Allah to forgive us. Because sometimes shaitan comes into our hearts and he makes us arrogant to think that what I'm doing is right and I'm justified in doing it. And when we don't see it as a sin, then we're not going to be able to find place in our prayers and in our du'as to ask Allah to forgive us for something. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala keep us humble in that regard, and our hearts can stay soft. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for soft hearts, we meaning that we constantly reciting that istighfar, even sometimes if we don't mean it, that we read it just as a way of keeping our hearts from hardening. So as long as our hearts can stay soft, that we know that we can always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our direction is to Allah, then that gives us space to be humble towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second tip is taqwa. Taqwa translates largely to God consciousness and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Surah Talaq, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, whoever has taqwa, sometimes taqwa is translated as the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we talk about fearing Allah, always remember that it doesn't refer to, you know, standing in front of Allah as though Allah is going to suddenly throw us into Jahannam or Allah is going to suddenly pounce on us. The taqwa of Allah is a form of reverence. It's a form of love. And when you listen to people talking and they say they're in the presence of certain person and they feel shy to talk loudly or raise their voices or they wouldn't joke around, and it comes from a place of reverence and it comes from a place of respect, a place of love. For example, a benefactor who you would treat with some respect because you love them, because they are giving you some favor and some ni'mat, something that you couldn't do without. So if we deal in that way with our worldly benefactors, then imagine our benefactor Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty, without the blessings of Allah from the time we wake up in the morning with regards our bodies and with regards the air that we breathe and the roofs over our head, etc., we would never be able to manage. We wouldn't have those blessings. So with that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of that, that reverence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if we do something that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is unhappy with, or Allah will frown upon, then we feel embarrassed. So that is when we talk about the fear of Allah, the fear of disappointing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, who is our greatest benefactor. So that is where taqwa comes from, that we acknowledge Allah's greatest blessings and bounties on us, and we won't want to be embarrassed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we're going to disappoint Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that verse in Surah Talaq, that's Surah 2-3, whoever fears Allah, whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keeps his duty to him, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will make a way for her, for him to get out of every difficulty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide from sources that that person could never ever imagine. So the second tip along this way of increasing our rizq in tips, the first was tawbah, to repent, and to read a lot of istighfar, to be sincere in it also. And the second that we're currently discussing is taqwa, God consciousness. Now when we talk about, for example, a lady that wears her hijab, and I say hijab, I'm referring to it very in a minimal way, a reductionist manner, as just a scarf. Because we know hijab isn't just a scarf, isn't it? It's a way of life. It's a system that exists between men and women, a segregation of sorts. But for example, when she comes out of her home, she has her scarf on her head, and people will pick on her and say, oh, she thinks she's very pious, she thinks she's very holy. But that scarf is indicative that she is on an inner journey. She's on an inner path in recognition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And forget about people looking at her and what the scarf means and things like that. She herself now is conscious that I'm striving inwardly to something, that it's part of taqwa, it's part of a God consciousness, an Allah awareness. So an Allah awareness, an awareness that at every moment Allah is looking over us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be proud of us if we do good, if we are obedient, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will be disappointed with us if we do something wrong. That is taqwa, that is God consciousness. And the ayah from the Quran again, and whosoever has taqwa, whosoever fears Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and keeps his or her duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make a way for them out of every difficulty, and Allah will provide for them from sources that he or she could never ever imagine. Subhanallah. So taqwa and God consciousness and obedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is a surefire way to increase rizq. So the third tip then is silatul rahim. We've heard this, observing the bonds of kinship, family. Sometimes we laugh and we say that if Allah didn't know, or clearly Allah knew that relatives and family members would be very difficult, and keeping ties with them sometimes can be very challenging. That is why Allah put so much of thawab in keeping our family ties and our family relations, because if it was something else going to be easy, then there wouldn't be so much of thawab in it. So the next time you're faced with a difficult relative, the next time you're faced with a difficult sibling, the next time you're faced with difficult in-laws, bear this in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this silatul rahim, observing the bonds of kinship and family, up there with a method of increasing our rizq. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala be pleased with him and all the sahaba, because they've brought us so much. They've given us so much, and it's recorded so beautifully by the muhaddithin. He says, I heard Allah's Apostle sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that whoever wants to be happy with a lot more wealth, and whoever wants to be pleased that his lifespan is going to be prolonged, then he must keep up good relationships with his kin. And Abu Hurairah also reported that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, learn enough about your lineage, learn enough about your family ties and which, who's your uncle and how this auntie is related to you. Learn enough about your lineage, how far it goes, how far back it goes, so you can establish ties of kinship. Learn enough about your lineage so you can establish the ties of kinship. Because establishing ties of kinship increases love amongst families, and it multiplies wealth, and it extends age. And that's narrated in Sunan at-Tirmidhi. Subhanallah. So, creating huggas and making huggas and finding out how far back your lineage goes is not to have, and it's not a matter of fakhr, it's not a matter of boasting. It's not a matter of saying, oh well, we come from this place in India, and we come from that place in Pakistan, or we come from this place in Paris, and we come from that place in America. No, it's not for that. It's learn enough so that you can establish your ties of kinship. Because establishing ties of kinship creates muhabba. It creates love among families. You look out for one another, and that in turn multiplies wealth, and that in turn extends your age. Subhanallah. Another hadith that stands out where, and it's narrated by Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, narrating from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's no wrong action which Allah is swifter to punishment into the world, in this world, in addition to punishment stored up in the hereafter, than the oppression of cutting off ties of kinship. Subhanallah. There's no wrong action in which Allah is swifter to punish in this world in addition to punishment in the hereafter than the oppression of cutting off ties of kinship. So, it's possible that a family can be evil, a family can be sinners, a family can be full of wrong, but their money and their numbers will increase if they fulfill the ties of kinship. The fourth step in increasing sadaqah and charity, in increasing our risk, is to give out abundant charity. Now, ordinarily this would sound like a little bit of a paradox. How do you give away money and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more money? In Surah Saba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse 39, and whatever you spend, and whosoever or whatsoever you spend in Allah's cause, Allah will replace it, and Allah is the best of providers. And in Surah Baqarah, Allah says that it's Shaitan who threatens you with poverty, and he orders you to commit lewdness, whereas Allah himself promises you forgiveness, and Allah promises you bounty, and Allah is sufficient for his creature's needs. And then correlated by the ahadith, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that every day two malaika come down from the heavens, and one says, O Allah, give the one who spends in your cause lots of compensation. And the other angel says, O Allah, destroy the miser, talafa. So these malaika are making dua for these people who spend in Allah's way. Allah, compensate the person who spends. And you know, when Allah compensates, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't compensate rand for rand. Allah compensates hasanat like we would never ever know. Okay? So the second tip, the fourth tip in increasing our risk is to give sadaqah. The fifth is ibadah, worshipping Allah. Allah says that, O son of Adam, O child of Adam, take out your time to worship me, and I will fill your chest with richness, and I will remove your poverty. And if you don't do so, if you don't take out time for ibadat, I will fill up your hands, and you'll be so busy, you won't know whether you're coming or you're going, but I still won't remove your poverty. Subhanallah. And that's narrated in Musnad Imam Ahmad. So let's look at this again. Allah says that, O child of Adam, O son of Adam, take out time to do your ibadah, and I will fill your chest with richness, and I will remove your poverty. But if you don't do that, I'll fill your time up. I will make you so busy. I'll make you chase your tail, but I won't remove your poverty. So this devotion that we talk on, at times of ibadah, specifically our fara'id, take that time out and devote ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all our heart. Don't be like those people who pray just with bodies, but their hearts wander right or left. So on that note, one of the saints said, Malik ibn Dirar rahimahullah, he said that make the obedience of Allah your profession and you'll earn profits without having to sell anything. The sixth one is to do Hajj and Umrah, and that of course is for those who have to, or who can rather. The eighth is Tawakkul, putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ninth is Nikah. Nikah increases sustenance. And this outwardly seems like such a crazy thing, as because you're taking on greater responsibilities, you have to look after somebody else. But this has been recorded in the Ahadith as a way of increasing sustenance. It's recorded that even Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that seek richness through marriage. Because in the Quran, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that if they are poor, Allah will enrich them out of His bounty. And in Tafsir al-Bahawi, he records something similar that's narrated from Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that seek richness through marriage, because they take a verse from the Quran al-Kareem as proof for that, that if they be poor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich them from His bounty. And there's a hadith that correlates that as well, that's recorded by Imam Ahmad and in Tirmidhi, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, ثَلَاثَةٌ حَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَوْنُهُمْ. There's three people whom it's a right upon Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to help them. The first is the person, النَّاكِهُ يُرِيدُ الْعَفَافِ, the person who gets married seeking chastity, the slave who makes a contract with his master with the aim of buying his freedom, وَالْغَازِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and the one who fights for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three people upon whom it's a right upon Allah to help them, and that is mentioned in recorded by Imam Ahmad and Tirmidhi. So that's one way to increase risk and sustenance. Another is dua. Umm Salama reports on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when he used to leave home in the morning, he used to make salam. And then he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqa wasi'a wa amalan mutaqabbala. Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge. I ask you for good risk. I ask you for accepted action. So if you want an increase in sustenance, then you can't just hope for it without making the dua. Make the supplication. And this next one I particularly love is thanking Allah, making shukr. When we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase our blessings. When we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, if you give thanks by accepting your iman and worshipping none but Allah, I will give you more of my blessings. But if you are thankless, then my punishment is very, very severe. So this shukr, the thanks and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is among those things that increase our risk and sustenance. There are many other tips, staying away from sins being there, reading our salah on time, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the things that we can read, for example, Surah Waqiha, after Maghrib or after Isha, they are those that we can also touch on. But due to time constraints, let's just wrap it up here with five. If we remember those five as tips that are going to increase our risk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us. So keeping ties of kinship, being conscious of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, having that taqwa, constant istighfar, showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and giving charity. Can we remember those five? The sila rahmi, keeping our ties of kinship. Taqwa, being conscious of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Constant istighfar, showing gratitude, being a grateful servant of Allah, living so gratefully with whatever we've been given. and giving charity whenever we can. And remember, rizq doesn't necessarily refer to the money, but rizq refers to any bestowing and blessing that Allah has chosen to give us. Allah gives the dunya, as we had in that hadith earlier, to people whom Allah loves and Allah doesn't love. But Allah will give the deen to those whom Allah loves, only to those whom Allah loves. Well, that's it from me, Abdullah, this beautiful Wednesday morning. Inshallah, I'll catch up with you next week. From me and from my engineer brother Usama. Till next week, fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.